Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't lose sight of what the goal is.
Of what the goal is here.
The goal is here.
And please welcome.
It is your turn.
The Grant.
Right now.
Napier Show.
It's showtime, baby.
Okay, let's begin.
In three, two.
To roll up your sleeves to your freaking neck.
One.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios of Sports 1140, KHDK. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Now, here's Grant Napier.
All right, as promised, hour number two starts with Sam Amick from USA Today. Sam, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
Grant, doing great. How are you?
Good. When I had you on, you were driving to game one, you and your colleagues, and I asked you for your prediction. And you said, I'm taking Cleveland in seven games. I would assume you're not changing that pick now.
No, unless I misspoke. I had Warriors in seven.
Oh, you actually put Cleveland on my show in seven because I was startled that you picked them to win in seven.
Man, I'm all over the map, Grant. But that's a good pick right now.
Hey, you can't lose. You can't lose. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
It's funny you mentioned that, and I won't name names, but I was talking to a Warriors person, and they were just joking, but we were saying, what do you think? What's going to happen? And the guy said, well, I'm thinking maybe I'll put a couple of grand down on the cast so that then, you know, if we lose and my heart's ripped out, at least I made a little bit of cash.
Unbelievable. You know, let's start with off the court. I mean, I know that it's never pleasant when family members, whatever the case, go to social media because it just creates, you know, in my opinion, unwarranted. You don't want to deal with that heading to game seven. What was your thoughts on Steph Curry's wife and what she put out on social media?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, obviously, people have gotten to know her, and she's very out there, very public, personable. I met her a few times, very nice young lady. It's just, you know, I think it's right now when your husband is in the middle of this kind of a series, I think it was just too much. And it just puts him in I saw it all happen in real time. It puts him in a very challenging situation. I mean, he got off of his press conference interview in the arena last night. And for one, the first priority was he was talking to league officials about the unfortunate situation where her father was mistaken for somebody else and almost arrested. So that's obviously, that's a separate issue.
Right.
But all the other stuff, you know, it's rigged and talking trash to the Cavs. I mean, I thought it was fun for a while. It's over the top now. I feel like, you know, Steph's got a lot on his plate.
Sure he does.
A lot of pressure. And I just don't think that this is helping his situation at all.
Yeah, and then she, you know, gets into it with Stephen A. Smith today. I mean, at some point, put your phone away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put your phone away for a couple of days. All right.
I mean, I'm okay with that from her and well beyond that. And just in general these days. And I mean, I'm on social media like crazy, but you know, I just don't know why everybody feels like they got to share every single thought that crosses their mind.
Yeah, good point. Sam Amick, USA Today. I'm not a big believer in momentum in the playoffs. Clearly, Cleveland's got to be feeling as well as they have at any point during this series. So let's break down Game 7, Sam. Give me what you think are one or two of the main things that you think that we should look forward to on Sunday. Like, what are you looking at as we get ready for Sunday?
I mean, there's a handful of things. For one, you know, keep your eyes on Andre Iguodala and what.
Oh, we just lost him. So he's going through a bad area, and he told us that before we started the interview. So we'll get him right back on, and we'll talk with Sam Amick from USA Today. Don't forget, we only have a 6 o'clock show because of A's baseball, so we'll be adjourning at 6 o'clock. We still have Bobby Jackson, who's going to be coming on at 5:05. We'll look forward to talking with Bobby about an event that he's coaching tonight and his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. We've got that, and we're going to be talking with Bob Nightingale as well. That's going to be coming up at 5:30. So we'll get Sam back. Sam, I know you were going through a bad area, so thanks for hanging in there with us. You were talking about, number one, Andre Iguodala, about one of the things that we really need to keep an eye on. So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, his back's an issue. You saw that in the game last night. He looked like an old man out there, and he's the number one guy for them in terms of finding a way to slow down LeBron. And the combination of Andre not feeling good. And I tell you what, I watched him leave the arena, and he didn't look good at all. And that's not – that's a real problem for the Warriors, considering that LeBron is in video game mode right now. So that's a big one. Another guy on the wing, Harrison Barnes, if, you know, he's got to wake up. I just filed a story on Harrison talking about the fact that, you know, he's been terrible these last couple of games. And this guy is potentially going to get paid $20-something million next year. And right now that seems pretty absurd. And, you know, he needs to step up. The home court advantage thing is big. They're so good there. They've never lost three games in a row since Steve Kerr came to town. So you got all these things on paper that you know, you feel like the Warriors should be able to pull it off. But in terms of just, I mean, I hear you on momentum, Grant, but in terms of just one team that's feeling itself, so to speak, versus another that looks pretty shook, the Cavs right now, I think, are the one that they look pretty intimidating.
And we've talked about this. I don't know if pressure is even the right word, but what's at stake for the entire city of Cleveland? Again, I went to college in Ohio, and I get it because I have so many of my friends from Cleveland, and they have not ever had a chance to celebrate a championship because there hasn't been one. I mean, the feel in that community, that, can you imagine what that party would be like if Cleveland is able to win Game 7? Can you imagine what that would be like in that part of the state?
Well, I can tell you that I think her name was Cindy. There's a nice lady at the Concierge Lounge in the Renaissance Hotel in downtown Cleveland who told me to just go ahead and enjoy the party from somewhere inside because it's going to be crazy if that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, you know, she's a woman who grew up in the area. And you know, we talked about that idea and how needed it would be for the locals. But what's fascinating, Grant, is that they are so conditioned to failure that, you know, like my Uber driver this morning, this nice young lady was talking about it. And they're going to get crushed in Game 7. And I said, why do you say that? She goes, oh, it's how we think, you know. So we'll see what happens. But they want it badly. And more importantly, it just seems right, you know, after two games, it just kind of looked like, all right, he's going to have to keep chipping away at this whole concept of Cleveland finally winning his title. You know, and now it just, you know, he just turned a page and is playing the best basketball. Just saying something, this guy's played some pretty damn good ball. And I mean, last night's game was arguably one of the best finals games, playoff games of all time. And then not just the scoring, but the way he impacted things and the force and the will. And I mean, he's on another level. So he's the guy. You talk about what to watch. I just, if he's that same guy, the Warriors can't.
Sam, can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. Can you imagine what would happen if Game 7 is poorly officiated? I think this has not been a good postseason for the officials. I'm really got my fingers crossed that that's not an issue. I can't think of anything right now that could be much worse for the NBA than to have a poorly officiated Game 7.
No, I completely agree. They got, in my opinion, you know, they're scot-free in terms of last night, even though there were some terrible calls. You know, we talked about Aisha's tweets and people talking about the officiating. The Warriors lost because they got their tails kicked. And you know, so, but that being said, Steph Curry being the back-to-back MVP and getting those kinds of calls, you kind of think it's going to go the other way at home. And they always want to say that that doesn't happen, and they call it straight no matter where they are. These guys are human. They know the narrative. Steve Kerr very deliberately came out and went after the officials, was more than willing, I'm sure, to pay $25,000 with his fine today. That's a Phil Jackson move where you say, enough. We're not going home and dealing with this kind of garbage. And we've never seen Steph Curry react the way that he did. I mean, I looked at one of the Bay Area papers today, and they had this great shot of him just barking in Jason Phillips' ear, obviously through the mouth guard. So defending champs, you got the MVP on your side. Chances are they're going to get some whistles on Sunday.
And then for Golden State, you talked about Iguodala. I would agree with you. His back's got to be a big issue. Harrison Barnes, number two. I mean, it goes without saying that the Warriors are going to need both of their guards to make their shots. And I'm talking about Curry and Thompson. We really haven't seen a lot of that on the same night.
Yeah, I mean, Clay's the probably, if you just ask which guy do you trust
right now the most. I'd probably go with Clay. I think he'll be fine. And sometimes the way their offense falls, you know, he's not the guy to have a big night. But, you know, I mean, and nobody's questioning Clay's psyche and Clay's spirit. I mean, game six in the last series was an all-timer. And you can make an argument that he's been the MVP of the playoffs for the Warriors. And he's, you know, the way he defends on the other end. So Clay's got to get it going. And Steph, I mean, Steph had a quiet 30 points, which is tough to do. I mean, he had a pretty good night, and I think maybe we're overlooking the fact that, I mean, that game was tight with a few minutes to go. They missed a few, you know, I mean, Steph in particular, he missed a shot at the rim that would have cut it to six, and it could have been a different story. Obviously, the tough calls didn't help. That game was tighter than, you know, I think even we ended up portraying it to be. So it felt a little bit like the Warriors did find something in those last three quarters because, you know, really, you wind up losing by 14. You got smoked by 20 in the first quarter. I mean, that for all the talk of the officiating, I mean, the focus should be on the fact that you got hammered 31-11 in the first quarter. You didn't score for the first almost 6 minutes of the game. We've never seen that from this Warriors team.
Sam Amick, USA Today. I'm curious, you know, for you guys that are doing this on a national basis, you get game seven, so that is going to be on June 19th, and then you guys have to be right in it on July 1st when free agency starts. So, like, when is your downtime? When do you get a break?
You're asking, this is the bad day to ask that question, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm thinking.
It's a fun gig, but as the years go on, and, you know, years and years ago, I told someone this the other day, you know, our buddy Marty McNeil, who had the Kings job before I did, I used to remember, you know, before Twitter, before the internet, you know, guys like that would just disappear for 8 weeks at a time, and that's their downtime, and there wasn't the demands there are now. We end up having to carve out time at different times of the year. I mean, I took a week off in December this year, which sounds kind of crazy. It's in the middle of the season, but you kind of have to do that because December matters less than July. And so, you know, you got to pick your spots, but this is an extremely busy time of year. The draft is going to keep us busy this week, figuring out if teams are going to make deals, who's going to be going where. And then you got free agency. And then you got this other X factor. Again, you know, this is something I pushed hard to be a part of, but the Rio Olympics are going to be taken up by August, assuming I still go. I'm like everybody else, kind of
sure
monitoring that situation. But there's not a lot of downtime right now.
All right, final thing. We're talking with Sam Amick from USA Today. If the Warriors do not win on their home floor in Game 7, what do you think the narrative will be with everything that's happened to them this year with the 73 wins, the come-from-behind against Oklahoma City? What do you think the narrative, the final script would be? What do you think the majority of people in your profession will have to say about the Warriors' season?
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's obviously, it's the hot take is call it a choke job. I don't know what. I never love that terminology, but like they blew it. They would have blown it anyway, hypothetically, especially on your home floor. I mean, it was amazing that they came back against the Thunder down 3-1 in the conference finals, but they had two of their final three games on their home floor. If the Cavs do this and they come back from 3-1 when they had to win two games at Oracle out of the final three, I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have egg on their face. Klay Thompson, again, I'm loving Klay these days because filter, which is tremendous for media people, and he said last night it would be 100% failure. He just kind of
right
put it on the table. So, you know, they'll own it. I mean, I think you'll always say they were tremendous during the regular season, and then you'll say that they learned the hard way that their style of play still had just enough vulnerabilities in their collective personality that it just wasn't as playoff tested or playoff ready as they thought it might have been. I mean, last year, those were the suspicions, was what if, you know, the Cavs were healthy? What if they had more coming at them physically? You know, could they withstand the kind of force that a team like Oklahoma City showed them in the last round? I mean, they showed a tremendous amount of character to even get to the finals. So I'm not going to sit here. I mean, I wouldn't come within a million miles of saying they've been an embarrassment. They've battled, and not to ramble on you, Grant, but history tells you whenever a superstar gets hurt in the playoffs, and this is ESPN's Tom Haberstroh had a good piece on this, that's always enough to derail a very good team. So that's another factor here. They had to withstand Steph Curry getting hurt with the knee and the ankle. It has been a tough road to hoe for them. And that's why Game 7 is so amazing to me, is because it's going to be one of two extremes. Because if they win it, it's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yep.
And they've been through a lot to get there.
Sam, enjoy it. Thank you so much. I know you're swamped. Greatly appreciated. And, again, that should be one heck of an environment to be witnessing that game on Sunday. So enjoy.
You got it, Grant. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Sam Amick, USA Today. Right now, it is 4:18. Time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. First of all, the Warriors are favored. The caller earlier was incorrect, which I thought he was. I mean, I really don't even ever look at the betting lines. I couldn't have told you what the betting line was last night. I don't look. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, if you bet, it matters, but I don't bet, so it really makes no difference to me. You know, you either win or you lose. I don't care if you win by 1 point or 50 points. I'm not betting, so lines don't mean anything to me. But the people on Twitter was talking to me that the Warriors are -4.5 on Sunday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Watching the golf from Oakmont, boy, Jason Day is really having a tough go. He's playing 36 today, as he did not play well in the morning, and I believe he's 6 over par right now. So it does not – I mean, this course looks brutal, absolutely brutal. Dustin Johnson, by the way, is on number 12. He's one off the pace. He's even for the round. After shooting a 67 this morning, he is at 3 under par, and he is one shot off the pace. So a lot of guys are going to have to play 36 tomorrow, and that is not going to be easy, because tomorrow you got to get up early, and then the course is going to be more difficult tomorrow than it was today because it's drying out. So the conditions are going to be more difficult. Lee Westwood will play tomorrow. He was at 3 under par. But it's going to be brutal. As you get towards Sunday, that's when this course will be playing. I would say no one's going to break par on Sunday. I'd be surprised if we see par broken tomorrow. This course is going to get more and more difficult. And there's a 619-yard par 5 being played today. Is the fourth hole. It's pretty amazing to watch, you know, the best golfers in the world going at a hole that is over 600 yards. You know, we had Eric on earlier. There's the 16th, I believe, at Olympic Club. It's well over 600 yards, and it's basically just a semicircle that just starts. It goes to the left and goes to the left and goes to the left. And, I mean, you know, you really don't get home in two. You leave yourself, you know, a wedge into the green for your third shot. That's for sure. Now, on this long par five, Dustin Johnson just made it on in two, but there aren't a lot of Dustin Johnsons in the field. That's pretty impressive, to say the least. All right, if you want to get in on the program, the numbers are 339-1140. That's 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. Landry, who was out early today for one putt, made the birdie. He's at 4 under par. He'll play 18 in the morning, and assuming that that's good enough to make the cut, then he'll play another 18 in the afternoon. So they really hope to have everyone on track and, you know, twosomes on Sunday for the final round at Oakmont. A lot of daylight left, still, you know, 7:20, and, you know, with the sun not setting until, you know, around 9 o'clock, they still have a lot of golf left to go. So Bubba Watson, by the way, is at one under par, and he tees off tomorrow at 8:06. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Bobby Jackson, he'll be coming on at 5:05. We'll talk with Bobby about what's going on tonight. And always good to see Bobby involved in all the charitable all the charitable things that we have going on here in this community. Bobby's always generally right at the top of the list. Guy's amazing. Absolutely incredible. All right, why don't we get to some more phone calls, and we get to Max. Hello, Max. Max, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah. I just, what if we lose?
I'm going to have to let you go, Max. You got a really bad connection. Back to Bobby for a minute. He's going to be coaching a Mad Backer charity game tonight. And a lot of great celebrities that are going to be out there tonight. So we'll talk to Bobby. He'll be coming up at 5 o'clock. And we'll talk to him about some of the celebrities that are going to be out there. But it's pretty cool stuff. Really is. I'm looking at Mark Cuban's on the list. Wow. How about that? Terrell Owens, who is in studio here today. Tony the Tiger Lopez will be out there. We got Bobby, who's going to be coaching one of the teams. Henry Turner, Jerry Porter, Seneca Wallace, Matt Barnes, Adrian Ross, Phil Oates. It's a great list. Very good list. Shaquille Barrett from the Broncos. Good stuff. Got Bernard Berrien, former Bears and Vikings. That's a nice list. If you want to get out there, you can go to madbacker.com. That's madbacker.com. So Bobby will come on, and he is coaching the game tonight. So let's hope Bobby does not get, you know, thrown out of the game or anything. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. Bobby's the best. It's good stuff right there. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to come back, and we're going to take more of your phone calls. All right, if you're on hold, stay on hold, because I'll get to you right when we come back. And then Bobby Jackson will be coming on at 5 o'clock, Bob Nightingale at 5:30, and then we'll get you to A's Baseball at 6 o'clock. So we will come back. If you're on hold, stay on hold, because I'll get right to you when we come on the flip side, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, it's 4:33. Time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. All right, let's get to some phone calls, and it's Jim. Hello, Jim. How are you?
All right, how are you, Grant?
What's up, Jim?
I want to ask you about a roster that we could possibly get.
Okay.
What do you think about so I said we signed Matt Barnes. I don't think he would be too much. I know Sacramento hates him, but he brings the energy to defense.
Well, you know what? I don't think Sacramento hates Matt Barnes. I think any time you're playing against a team that has Matt Barnes on it, you hate Matt Barnes because he's a pest, and he's the type of player that if he's on another team, you hate him because of the way he plays. But generally speaking, if he's on your team, you're okay with him. But, yeah, well, I'd have no problem with that.
I know a lot of diehards that really get tired of the fact that he got the Sacramento Finest tattoo covered up. And it hurt a lot of fans that he did that.
You know what? I'm not even aware of that, so thank you for educating me on that.
So, and then his mother or his family's from L.A., and he kind of shows loyalty to L.A.
Well, his mom passed away from cancer, and so...
I agree.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to go into a family issue. Matt has had some off-the-court issues that have not gone very well for him, and but as a basketball player, I got to tell you one thing. That guy is tough as nails.
Well, I know... A lot of people that he went to high school with are frustrated that he got that Sacktown Finest tattoo covered up.
Where was the tattoo and what part of his body?
I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it's under the tree on his right arm. He has a big, dark tree that covered a lot of stuff up. But anyhow, that's far beyond the point. I'm thinking that he would be a good value because, I mean, of course, we got a lot of money tied into a lot of players. I'm thinking that we got to go get done with Collison situation. If we get done, sign Rondo, try to get Seth back and get Bazemore for the shooting guard to start, and then we'll get McLemore to back him up and maybe Belly behind them. We'll have Rudy Gay, Omri Caspi, and maybe Belly on small lineup at the three. And then we'll have Matt Barnes and Willie for the power forward with Kufis and Willie, or Kufis and Cousins at the five.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Matt's a small forward, but we'll see what happens. Vladdy's got a lot of work to do. He certainly understands that, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you got big Father's Day plans, I'd love to hear from you. It's that time of year. Before you know it, it will be officially summer. And if you got big plans for a Father's Day, I know what I'm doing on Father's Day. I'm watching the U.S. Open, and then as soon as the U.S. Open's over, I am watching Game 7. How many of us are doing that, right? Are you? Because that's what I'm doing. I am definitely watching the final round of the U.S. Open, and then I am watching the Game 7. I love watching the U.S. Open. I love watching golf where the course generally wins. So 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Give me your thoughts on this Game 7 that's coming up on Sunday, and if you feel that the Cavaliers are going to be holding the trophy on Sunday. I still do not. I still think the Warriors are going to win on their home court. Ian, you're on with Grant Napier. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm well, Ian.
So I'm a big Kings fan, and, you know, I'm waiting. I haven't been paying attention to the finals because I wish our team was there. But this weekend, it's going to be my first Father's Day. So I think me and my son and my puppy going out to the lake over here where I live, and just spend some time out there and then come back home and watch some baseball.
All right. That sounds good, too. You know,
so, what plans do you have, Grant?
I am going to I'm going to have my boys over. We're going to watch golf, the U.S. Open, and then my older son just loves watching it. And then on Sunday, we'll watch Game 7.
Sweet, that sounds awesome, Grant. Well,
all right.
I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye bye now.
Bye bye. You have a good one.
Hey, you do the same. All right.
Thank
you. Let's get to AC. Hello, AC.
Hey, Grant, you put it out there about what we're doing for Father's Day, so you'll probably appreciate this. Been to the Celebrity Golf Tournament in Edgewood, but never played, and we secured a deal with lunch for $175 a round, so I'll be playing Edgewood for the first time on Father's Day. Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what? Now, that is awesome. You're going to love the golf course. It's great. You're going to absolutely love it. It's, to me, the three best holes are 16, 17 and 18, they're just spectacular three finishing holes. But even it's such a beautiful course. It smells so good with the pine trees, and
right.
it's a phenomenal golf course, you know. And you know what else
yep.
is, you know what's great about it, AC, is
what's
after
that?
You play it in a couple weeks, you'll be able to go and watch it on national television and say, hey, you know what, I just played there a couple weeks ago.
That's right. Hey, maybe you could give me a hand with that extra long hole. What is it, like 600 yards or something like that?
Well, there's number 16, depending on where the tees are, but it's not 600. There's no holes that are 600 yards that I'm aware of at Edgewood. But you also have to remember, you're at an altitude, so your ball's going to go about, you know, 10 yards farther.
Right.
In other words, you're going to go, if it's 100 yards, basically it's a 90-yard shot. You know, if it's
right.
if it's 200
yeah,
yard, if it's 200 yards, basically it's 180 yards.
Right. And I on Saturday, I'm going to have my son for the first time. He's going to barbecue for us.
Well, how about that?
Like that?
How old is he?
I got him a barbecue as a housewarming present, so he's going to
good.
Basically do a little barbecue for us, and he's going to host us. So when your kids grow up, make sure they host you sometime. I just wanted to shout out to my son, Zach, Alex, and Andy.
Well, you know what? My youngest son's turning 18 in a couple of days, so there you go. He'll go from childhood to adulthood, and I'll have him start doing stuff for me. How's that sound?
All right, and happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you. You do. Hope enjoy. Hey, you know what? Call me after you experience that. That's great. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Have a good one.
All right. You do the same. All right. Joe, you're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, just wanted to talk about just, you know, like the overall kind of like the play, or if not the play, but how LeBron is, you have to know just the little tactics by which he's doing towards the Warriors that he's playing these mind games, you know? I mean, that was, I can't but help think that wasn't when he got the block on Stephon Curry, that he knew the cameras were there, the crowd was there, and you know he just, this is my moment, and I'm going to go right at him. And when he was barking at him, and, you know, it just got into the head of Stephon Curry, I mean, as well as the Warriors. And more to that is I think he's keenly aware of, to read the pulse of how the rhythm of the game is going. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so more to that, I think the Warriors just got, you know, they just lost their cool. And, you know, I think Stephon Curry just needs to relax and just, you know, play his game, you know, albeit, you know, he scored 30 points, but more so the Warriors. So that's it.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. All right. Don't forget Bobby Jackson coming up at 5:05. Bob Nightingale at 5:30. We're getting you right ready for the weekend. Big Father's Day weekend here on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, we are welcoming you back. Bobby Jackson coming up in about 12 or 13 minutes, 14 minutes, whatever the case may be, 5:05, sometimes a little bit earlier, but we'll get Bobby on. U.S. Open is still going on, still pretty good daylight out there at Oakmont as it is 10 minutes in front of 8 in Pennsylvania. And looks to me, just by watching, they can play easily 45 more minutes. Dustin Johnson is even for the day. He is at 3 under par. And when I say even for the day, I'm talking about even for this round. He's played the first round earlier. This is his second round. And he is playing very well, very steady, you know, hitting the greens, you know, making a couple of putts. He's not bogeyed at all today. And Dustin Johnson really looks steady out there at Oakmont. Jason Day on the course, not having a good day. Jordan Spieth did not play today. He will play tomorrow. And he's got a long day ahead of him, as do a lot of the other golfers. So if you want to call 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. What do you think, all right, about Steph Curry's wife going to Twitter like that? Like, what are you thinking about? You know, like, don't you understand that no matter what you put out on Twitter, you're wrong? Okay, this is like, you know, this is big boysville, all right? This isn't like, hey, let's go out on Twitter and, you know, how about hitting send after you think long and hard about what you're writing, all right? Think before you act, okay? I mean, what on earth could you be thinking about? Don't you have to know in your head that the ramifications of putting out any type of tweet when your husband is playing for an NBA championship is going to be, you know, met with, like, really? Okay? And it's just, and then to, you know, put out on Twitter basically questioning whether the league has got a fix in for the games. I mean, come on now. I mean, that is just, you know, and I had Sam Amick on, and he said it best. He said, think about the pressure that Steph Curry is already under. You know, this is not what he needs. All right? You don't need your wife or family member. Doesn't even have to be your wife. You know, it could be a brother. You know, Derrick Rose's brother was guilty of this. You know, putting out stupid things on social media when Derek was going through all of his injury issues. It's like, you know, don't put something out on social media. So, you know, that's not your place. Okay, it's, you know, it's fine and dandy to support your husband, but you don't have to support him by ripping the league on social media. That doesn't do anybody any good. It's just amazing to me how there are still people that do not think before they hit send. It's unbelievable to me. Diego, you're on with Grant Napier. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I got two questions for you. One about LeBron. The whole stare down with Curry, have you ever seen any great player almost be like a front runner because he blocked him, stared it down, made a comment, but yet he was crying over Draymond Green's word that he said to him. So that to me, I don't know. I've never seen a great player do that. I've never seen Kobe Bryant. I've never seen Michael Jordan do that.
Oh, I didn't think it was that out of line. Personally, I didn't think so.
Okay. All right. And the second thing, my biggest concern as a Warrior fan is who else is going to score besides Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, because Harrison Barnes has been a no-show the last two games, and Iguodala's back is a big concern for me.
That's a big concern, and you're right about Harrison Barnes. He's been awful. I mean, Harrison Barnes has been brutal, and I don't know if the Warriors, if Iguodala's back, and you're right, I think the extra day off, Diego, might not be a bad thing at all for this Warriors team right now, especially Andre Iguodala.
Okay, hopefully they keep it heated, because once it goes stiff, that's a big problem. So, yep. Anyways, great show, and have a good one.
All right, thank you. Juan, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show. Hi, Juan.
Oh, hi. I was just calling because I wanted to get some information about the game last night with the Warriors.
Yes.
I didn't watch the game, but first of all, I want to tell you that I really enjoy your show. I commute to work, so I really, it makes up for all this long drive that I have to.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. So anyways, I was just wondering about the Warriors, because you would think they, I mean, something's going wrong in the way that it seems like nobody's really playing like we're used to seeing them play.
Well, they got one thing. Like, they got 48 minutes to get it right, Juan.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Curry is doing a lot better. Thompson is probably the most consistent guy in the finals,
right,
for the Warriors. I see Green is not really doing a whole lot. I heard that he played pretty good defense last night. Like,
yep.
I said, I didn't watch the game, but I mean, man, those guys have, like, besides Curry got 30 points. Thompson got 25. Besides them two, they basically had no help.
Well, they all they got to do is put it together for one game, Juan. I mean, I think the Warriors will win on Sunday. I just do. I think that home court brings out the best in them. I think Curry and Thompson are going to have tremendous games. I think you'll see a Sean Livingston, a Barbosa. I think they'll get really, and thank you very much for the call, I think they're going to get some really good performances on Sunday. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost, but I'd be surprised. Sean, you're on with Grant Napier.
Hey, Grant. Loving the show so far, man.
Thank you, Sean.
Just want to make a comment on the Ayesha Curry comments.
Yes.
I think it's grossly hypocritical for her to be bringing up the league fixing any of the games. This is the same league that her husband was a part of a 79-win team with. So if she wants to start pointing the finger at anybody having any fixed games, maybe she should look at those 79 wins first.
73, and not 77. Whoa. 73 regular season wins, not 79.
73, I'm sorry. Yeah, 73-9, I'm sorry. But also, I also wanted to say she also wasn't making those comments when Draymond Green wasn't suspended for the kick to the crotch against Steven Adams. So I just feel like her comments are completely unwarranted. And if you want to see a fixed game, go back to 2002 Western Conference Finals. Thanks a lot, Grant.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Bobby Jackson on the flip side of this break. So don't go anywhere. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.